Well, hello again. It's good to be with you again today. We're going to continue our study of the articles that are at the website on the homepage, garycarpenter.org. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a button that says Articles. And if you click on that, you see quite a few teachings that have been there for a long time in written format. But recently, the Lord gave me the assignment of teaching those lessons again. And doing it in a modern format is the word he used. So it'll be available in MP3 and also like a YouTube type format for you. So we've been going through them systematically one at a time. And he's added a couple of titles as we've gone through it. Today, let me get my notes here. Today, the title is The Wealth of the Sinner. And really, you could say the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, there's so much to teach on that subject. The normal teaching that's pretty well available anywhere goes back and uses King David, which is a perfect type and shadow. You know, in the Old Testament, King David wanted to build God a house. He wanted to build the temple. And he said, it's not right that I should live in this nice house that I have, and God, and you live in a tent. Because at the time, they had the tabernacle, which was basically a tent, you know. And so David wanted to build God a house, and God tells him, no, you're not the man that'll build my house. Your son, Solomon, he's the one that's going to build the house. So David's attitude was, well, if I don't get to build it, I can at least pay for it. So David goes to war. And now this is a perfect type and shadow of a gospel entrepreneur in a way, because see, in that day, they battled with flesh and blood. So David went to war against other kings, conquered their lands and conquered their wealth, and brought that wealth back for use to build the temple of God. Let's say to build the house of God. That's a type and a shadow of the businessman going into the financial arena, having the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, and him doing business, you know, like Jesus said, occupy till I come. And if you look up the word occupy, it means through like trading and business. And so King David is a perfect type and shadow. He didn't gather that wealth for himself. He was gathering wealth to build the temple, or today we'd say for the kingdom of God, for the use of spreading the gospel around the world. We're still building the house of God, but the house today is not made out of brick and mortar. The house today is built out of people. We're lively stones in the temple of God. Amen. Could preach forever right there. But now there's a lot of good teaching and websites and on gospel entrepreneurship and going forth to conquer in business and that type of thing. And to the point, and apparently the Holy Spirit didn't feel like he needed me to teach on that again. And that's why he gave me the lesson the way that he did. Now, remember how these lessons all came. Of course, I studied to show myself approved, a man, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth, so I don't have to be ashamed, you know, before God. And of course, I do my part, but I pray like the Dickens, you know, like Pastor Dave taught us, and allowing the Holy Spirit to pray the mysteries. And these lessons were birthed out of those times. And he didn't have me do a lesson here at the website so much about conquering in the business realm. In other words, the wealth of the sinner that way being transferred into the kingdom of God. There's lots of good teaching out there on that. This is a little different. Now, let me just start off like this. Nope, I got to check. We're going to start off with the first page here. Let's establish something first. For the life of the gospel entrepreneur, the ministry of helps, someone called to the simplicity of giving. I said, those are really all the same thing. Turn to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 21. See, if I went to 3 John verse 2 right now, we'd read that verse, and John wrote, he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now that soul prospering is important. But God obviously wants his people to be blessed to have a prosperous, healthy soul, mind, emotions, to be well balanced. But to be prosperous and healthy, God is not against prosperity at all. But God is. I love how Pastor Dave would say it. He said, God's not against you having money. He's just against money having you. Boy, love Pastor Dave. Miss him terribly, tremendously. But anyway, Jesus taught this in Luke chapter 12. Let's read verses 15 through 21. I'll try and hold my head up a little higher so you don't have to be looking directly at my bald head. Okay. I hope you guys have fun on this with me. I have fun doing it anyway. And he, that's Jesus, said unto them, now take heed and beware of covetousness. If he had to tell them that in Israel at that time, dear God, what would he say in America at this time? This truly is, now so far it's still the land of abundance. I'm telling you, there is no place like America. But I'll tell you another thing for the Christian. You better beware of covetous. Well, what do you mean covetous? What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, rather than make us wonder and question, the thing you love about Jesus, he teaches in whole subjects. He defines what he's talking about. So he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Again, that's almost like foreign speak to Americans. And he spake a parable unto them. Now he's going to explain what he means, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Stop just for a moment. First off, this guy's already rich. Notice what it says? He's already rich. See, rich means rich. He's got way more than enough. Well, we have another season, and man, his lands produced abundantly, plentifully. Verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, well, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This guy's loaded. In today's vernacular, it'd be like, I've already got 7 banks and all of them are already full to, what am I going to do here? I've got all this abundance more. Okay. And he said, well, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. There will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I got to be honest with you, it sounds a little bit like the American dream. You work hard for a big retirement, We're all about working hard. We're all about, it's okay with God for retirement. But better watch out what your life is about. Now he goes on here. I'm talking too much. Let's read verse 19 and I'll try and finish the parable. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He's going to die that night. Then where shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Man. Okay, I'm thinking of Alexander the Great right now. Hardly anybody in history did more in a short lifetime than him. He conquered and conquered and conquered. It was amazing. There's no way to calculate if you count all the land, the value of the land and the wealth and the possessions and of everything that man conquered. I don't think there's any way to calculate it. He died in his 30s. Died in his 30s, and all that wealth was distributed to others. See, man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you have. God's not against you having things. I mean, dear Lord, look at Solomon, look at David, look at Abraham. I mean, we have a lot of Job, rich man. We have so many, types and shadows. But especially, let me just say this. This man here in Luke 12, he spent his life, more was his mantra, more. I'm already rich, I want more. That's what his life was about. Had all it stored up and didn't get to enjoy any of it because his life was over. Boy, we don't want that. We do not want that. He said, beware of that lifestyle. Okay, that's not today's lesson. That was free. Didn't even charge you a love offering of $19.95. Praise the God. All right, the wealth of the sinner. And, you know, that phrase comes from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, the last half of it, where it just plainly says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, I am going to read a lot of this today because I can't improve on it even after 20 years. So I'm going to read a lot of it so you can have it available in MP3 format, and you'll have it available on YouTube. And as I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit, then we'll make some exhortations during it. And I'll try and keep it to 1 hour. Many are called to steward wealth for the kingdom of God in these last days. And they're very familiar with that verse. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The normal rendering is that there will be massive transfers of wealth from the world system of mammon into the kingdom of God through various means. And that is correct. However, there is another meaning of this verse as well, which we find in Scripture, which I've, by the way, in all these 20 years, I've still never heard it taught anywhere, not on Christian TV or anywhere. But I'm not saying it's not out there, but I've never heard it. Anyway, there will also be a transfer of wealth from those who are called to be stewards of wealth, but refuse to do so. Now, notice what happened to the wealth, the pound, that was entrusted to the third servant in that following passage. You know, now, again, I'm going to say, if you have not heard the lessons leading up to this lesson, you might be better off just to pause or stop right here, go back, and at least listen to stewarding the pound and the teaching that comes from that. It'll help you understand. But anyhow, we're going to continue on today. But now this is a portion of that parable of stewarding the pound, and it's Luke 19, verses 20 through 26. And another one came saying, now see, Jesus has already come. He gave 1 pound to this one guy, and he gained 10 pounds. He gave a pound to another guy, and he gained 5 pounds. And both of them, they did what they were supposed to do. They took that pound, they went, and they did business, whatever kind, we're not told, doesn't matter. But they did business and they caused increase. And they understood that not only the increase was the Lord, but the original principle, the pound. So, you know, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. They knew it wasn't for them. They did the work of increase for the kingdom of God. And it all belonged to the Lord. Well, that's the fundamental teaching from stewarding the pound. That's a gospel entrepreneur right there. That's by definition. All right. But there was a third one. This third one, he gave the same pound. He gave a pound to him just like the other guys. But now we're going to see what his response was. So again, Luke 19, starting in verse 20. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, well, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Now notice, thou wicked servant. Well, I don't want to hear that on judgment day. Thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down and reaping what I did not sow. Well, wherefore then gavest not thou my money, notice my money, unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. That's just interest. You could have at least done that. It wouldn't take much effort on your part. And he said unto them that stood by, now get this, now here's the transfer of wealth. Watch this. He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Jesus continues, "For I say unto you, that everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." And now notice, taken by force. Now remember, from the time of John the Baptist, and again, when I say remember, I'm reviewing a little bit all these lessons that we've been doing for months. Remember, from the time of John the Baptist, Jesus has been teaching concerning the kingdom of God. Jesus is not teaching the law. He said the law and the prophets were until John, talking about John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. Now, this man was a servant of the Lord, but notice he was a wicked servant. He refused to trade the Lord's pound unless there was personal profit in it for him. Now, quick review. This man just refused to do the work. Why? Was he afraid he's going to lose the Lord's pound and make bad investments? That's not why he said he did it. No, he said, "You want me to do all the work and you're just going to come and take it all? If there's nothing in it for me, I'm just not doing it." I mean, he was in it for what he could get out of it. And if there wasn't anything in it for him, he wasn't going to do it. Now, all that's on previous lessons, but that's the attitude of heart that disqualified him. Okay. But now Jesus is teaching. Here's the question. What happened to the money that had been entrusted to him? The Lord gave him a pound like he gave the others. What happened to that pound? Notice it was taken from him by force and given to the man who had been the most successful in his stewardship of the Lord's money. There is coming a transfer of wealth, not only from what we think of as the world, sinners in that realm, that kind, but there's coming a transfer of wealth from, quote, sinners. So I read it wrong, I'm sorry. There's coming a transfer of wealth from, quote, believers who refuse to function in the stewardship to which they have been called. They're wicked servants. I hate that phrase, but that's what the Lord said. See, we normally think of sinners, like when the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, we normally think of the sinner in that proverb as being people who's never been born again or not Christians, you know. Well, that is true. The wealth of the sinner is going to be laid up for the just. But it's not just those kind. It's also these kind, like this wicked servant from Luke 19. Is he a sinner also? James 4:17, if you want to look it up. Is this man a sinner? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, Jesus gave that man plain instruction. I'm giving you this pound. Go and increase it by trading. Bring it back for my use in the kingdom of God. Did the man know what to do? He knew what to do, but he refused to do it. That is sin, according to the Bible. Okay? Notice that the Lord told each one of them, gave them precise instructions. You could back up to Luke 19:13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." The word occupy, if you look it up, it's Strong's number 4231. It means to busy oneself with, to trade, to occupy. It's where we get our English word pragmatic. Comes from that same Greek word. Those 10 servants were to busy themselves in practical, pragmatic ways of doing business to cause an increase in the pound. This third servant knew that. He knew what to do. To him that knows to do good. To him that knows what to do. See? He simply refused to do it because he did not have a servant's heart. If there's nothing in it for me, I'm not doing it. Okay? See, he had the heart of a hireling. Again, last week's lesson. Each one of these builds on the previous lesson. He had the heart of a hireling, knowing that the purpose of his trading was to cause an increase for the Lord and not for himself. Well, he had no heart to spend his life doing that. He just let the Lord's pound lay idle. See, at least he had enough sense not to spend it. Oh, at least even him, this wicked servant, knew that money belonged to the Lord, not him. Okay. I cannot help but think he did not allow his own money to be wasted in the same manner. I bet he had investments with his own money for increase for himself. Some additional observations are necessary before we go forward. At first glance, it seems like that at this reckoning, the wicked servant intends to willingly hand the pound, the original pound, back to the Lord. I say that based on this statement in the Word. Look at Luke 19:20 very closely. So this man came saying, "Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin." But notice in the King James, "here is" in italics. It's not in the original Greek. It's not in the original language. See, when if we put "here is thy pound," it gives a picture of "I brought it to you." See, "here is." But if "here is" not even there, what it really says is, "Lord, behold, thy pound, I kept it laid up in a napkin." In other words, go get it for yourself. He had no intention of bringing that back to the Lord. I mean, he didn't spend it, but he didn't even care enough to bring it back. Oh. Look what the Lord's reaction to this is. Luke 19:24, we read it already, but let's look at it again really close. "And the Lord said unto him," the Lord said unto them that stood by. That's going to be important in a minute. "Take from him." Doesn't say ask for it, does it? Take it. "Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Notice that the pound was forcibly removed from him and given to the good servant. The Lord did not tell the wicked servant himself to hand it over to the good servant. Why not? Because the wicked servant up to this point has not obeyed the Lord at all. There's no reason to think that he's going to start now. The wealth was forcibly removed from him by, quote, "those that stood by." Who are those that stood by? I wish we were told exactly. Don't you? But we're not told. Perhaps Jesus is speaking of angels. Perhaps he is speaking of circumstances. Perhaps he is speaking of other stewards of kingdom finances whose wisdom and knowledge will cause the wealth to be transferred from the wicked servant to the good servant. We are just not told in detail who forces the transfer of wealth or how the transfer is forcibly done. We are told enough, though, from this parable to make the following statements. Here's four statements so we can say for sure. One, the transfer of wealth was made at the command of the Lord. The Lord told him, take it from him and give it to him. Okay? It was the Lord who commanded this. Number two, the transfer of wealth was forced upon the wicked servant. Number three, there was nothing the wicked servant could do to stop the transfer of wealth. Number four, Jesus himself commands the transfer of wealth from the wicked servant to the good and faithful servants. Let me tell you, he's still doing that today. Right there, see, I felt that. He's still doing that today. You want to be on the good servant side of this equation. Now, as an additional proof that the sinner in Proverbs 13:22 that we started off with, you know, this, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. It's not only speaking of unbelievers, you know, like the world out there, but also believers who will not spend their life stewarding the Lord's money. I want you to notice the similarity here between these two verses. Look at Proverbs again, Proverbs 13:22, the last part of it again. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And look at Luke 19:20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which here is not even there. Behold thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Wording's almost identical. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. This wicked servant, he had the wealth given to him laid up in a napkin. Who's it going to wind up with? The just. The guy who did it the best. The guy who gained 10 pounds. Now we can discuss another difficult statement by Jesus, and that's in Luke 19:26. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even what he has shall be taken away from him. What is Jesus talking about when he says unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not? Is he talking about money? The pound? Well, they all had money. They all started off with 1 pound. He's not talking about that. They all had the same thing to start with. No, Jesus is talking about something the wicked servant had not. The wicked servant had the pound, but there's something he had not. He said, if you don't have, it's going to be taken from you. What was that? What was it that the wicked servant didn't have? He did not have the heart of a first-class servant. And I hope, again, you've listened to the lessons from the last 2 or 3 weeks. See, the first two, the man that gained 10 pounds and the man that gave 5 pounds, both of them had the heart of a first-class servant. They heard what the Lord said, take this pound, go and do business, occupy till I come, trade with it, cause an increase. When I come, you can return it to me with the increase. And they had the heart to do it, even though it meant, in other words, they spent their time investing or doing business, whatever it was that they did. It's work. It's daily. You do it all the time. Well, I mean, you do other things too. You know, you got to raise kids and whatever. But I'm just saying, it takes life. It takes time. It takes effort. And you're going to do all of that effort, and not one penny of it is yours. See, that kind of goes against the grain in America, too. Now, I'm just saying, that's not normal, is it? You don't ever hear that taught on Christian TV. At least I never have. But for the calling of the ministry of helps, call it a gospel entrepreneur, call it the simplicity of giving, that's what you do. And it's the Lord, see? You got to have, in order to do that, the first two, the one that gained 10 and the one that gained 5, they had the heart of a first-class servant. Yes, I'm doing this for the Lord. See, really, that's the heart that's in Jesus. Jesus didn't go around punching a time clock and thinking all the time, what am I going to get out of this? No, he is the son. He is the king. He is the heir. He is the man with full inheritance. He is, you know. Well, everything he's doing for love's sake alone. He is the absolute perfect picture of the bond slave, of his own free will choice. He is the free son of God, but of his own free will choice, I am your servant. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do the will of him that sent me. Boy, there is the heart of a first-class servant. The first two in stewarding the pound, they had it, and the third one did not. And without that heart, even what he had, which was the pound, shall be taken from him. Well, that's the transfer of wealth. That's the transfer of wealth. Now, the wicked servant had not that kind of heart. Having not the heart of a true servant, then even what he did have was taken from him. And of course, that's the pound, the money. That wealth was transferred forcibly, taken from him by force. Take from him. It didn't say ask for it. He said take it from him and given to the best steward. In this parable, we're seeing the wealth of the sinner. Now, the sinner in his case is the wicked servant. Christians, who are, their whole life is about my best life now, I'm sad to say, many, many Christians, see, even in their giving, it's like, what am I going to get out of it? You know, And so they're drawn. I was too in the early days. I'm, you know, I hate to admit it, but I was, you know. When I first started hearing it, it was the hundredfold return, you know, and you got to name your seed and you got to focus on your harvest. So they kept after me till even my giving, when I gave, I had me on my mind. My harvest. This is about my harvest. I need this. So I got to sow a seed. But even my giving really was about me. And then one day, Dave, bless his heart, Dave could just, he could encapsulate a whole revelation in a single sentence. He just said one day, almost, I don't even know if he intended to. It was almost like a side thought, but he just kind of said, you know, when you give, if you have you on your mind, there really isn't any lower kind. Dave, dagger through the heart of covetousness right there. Boy, dagger through the heart. And whatever residual covetousness was in us. Oh, man. Well, I guarantee you that has to die. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord in the financial arena, if you're going to be a gospel entrepreneur, or even if you're just going to be a steward, like maybe you don't make the money, but you've been entrusted with distributing the money, you can't start thinking that money is yours. We call that embezzling. We put people in prison for that, you know. No. That just echoed in me for, and it still echoes today. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And it's all yours, Lord. It's all yours. Got to get past the point that when I give, I have me on my mind. No, when we give, we have God on our mind. And we have those people. The poor people, the lost who need to hear the gospel, or we're giving to help the poor that can't feed their kids. I'm telling you, God does not like it when kids go to bed hungry. He does not like it. Even in the Old Testament, he was so adamant about the tithe and the offerings because he wanted some way to feed the orphan, the widow, and the stranger, and his full-time ministers. And he doesn't like it when kids, I'm telling you, he does not like it when little kids go to bed hungry. He likes it when there's enough, see, and more than enough. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I think we have time for this because I keep seeing this, and it's best when I don't ignore them. I have a whole series at the website called Lessons from the Manna. And they're really the very first financial lessons that the Lord taught Israel when they came out of Egypt. It's like, this is my base. This is the foundation. 40 years, if you get taught a lesson for 40 years, maybe he's serious about it. And 40 years now, and I can't teach that whole series here in a few minutes, but if I was going to quickly summarize, you know how it worked. I mean, you're in the wilderness. You can't grow crops. It's just sand. There's scorpions and snakes. And besides that, if you did find a little plot of ground that maybe we could grow something here. So you start planting corn. 3 days later, the cloud moves and you move and you have to leave your field of corn. So how did God feed them? Boy, he taught them kingdom finances 101. Okay. With the manna. Now quickly. You know how it worked. The manna came every morning, but you couldn't lay around in bed till noon and go get your manna because it would evaporate in the heat of the day. Well, you want to eat, do you? Get out of bed, you rascal. Get up and go to work. What is my work? Gather the manna. He's teaching them 101. And you got to go every day except the Sabbath day because on the day before the Sabbath, twice as much will come. Gather that. And you'll have enough. Okay. So he was teaching them then, honor the Sabbath. But anyway, 101. Get out of bed, you rascal. Get up. You got to go gather your manna while you can. And everybody was to gather as much as they could. Okay. Now some are young bucks, you know, I think about my grandson right now who's 19 and boy, he can outwork Papa. Papa's not as fast as Papa used to be. And if he and I were on a manna gathering contest, he'd probably gather 10 to 1, what I can gather, you know. But the idea was you go get, everybody gathers as much as they could. In other words, cause increase by your doing. But they came and they put it back in this big hopper, see, you know. And they put it in this big hopper. And then it was measured out according to your need. Everybody's needs were met. That's kind of like the dinner table right there. Those of you that's been following these lessons. So you may gather a whole bunch, but you put it in the hopper. You only need what you need. And here's the thing. You couldn't save it up for tomorrow. You had to gather it day by day. Yeah, that means get out of bed every day, you outfit, and go to work. But he was teaching them that they couldn't trust in their savings, not to put their trust in stored up wealth. Because, you know, if you try to keep it, even overnight, it would breed worms and stink, you know. What's he teaching? He's teaching them 101. For 40 years, he taught them, get out of bed, get up early, go to work, gather all you can, share what you need with those, you know, you got people in wheelchairs, you got old people, you got feeble people, you got widows, you got orphans, take care of them, you know, but make all you can. Somebody said, I think it was one of the Wesleys, says, earn all you can and give all you can, something like that. And boy, I think he got that from the manna, see. But see, ultimately, you know, I'm fat boy, you talk about doing quick. Ultimately, manna was not God's plan for Israel. When he brought them into the promised land, as they conquered these lands, he told him, he says, I'm bringing you into a good land and you're going to have jobs. He starts talking about, you know, 40 years they were in the wilderness and God taught them by the way of the manna, his principles of finances. But then he brings them in, he's bringing them into the promised land. He says, some of you is going to, you're going to grow barley. Some of you is going to have mining operations in your land where you can dig ore out of the mountains. Some of you is going to be, keep bees and produce honey. Some of you is going to have olive groves. He's talking about jobs and occupations and businesses and that type of thing. But what does he tell them? He says, now you're going to prosper. Remember, God wants you to prosper. But what does he tell them? Do not forget the Lord thy God. It is he that causes thee to prosper. Don't forget what? Don't forget all the lessons I taught you for 40 years in the wilderness. I want you to bless the poor. I want you to take care of the widow. I want you to take care of the orphan. I want to have full-time ministers, and I want you to support the work of the ministry. Don't forget the Lord thy God. It's good stuff. Well, I kept seeing that image, and I just think it's important that we put this in here. Listen, I don't care what kind of business. You may not be called to the ministry of helps, but we don't want to forget the Lord our God. Wherever you're receiving your food in the kingdom, you need to support that whoever that is, and whether it's me or somebody else. You know, I mean, people that go to church and never ever give to that church, I don't know what? I don't understand that at all. There's something wrong. You better go talk to the Lord. There's something wrong with that, you know? And if you're getting food from another ministry, listen, it's not okay to eat at McDonald's and pay at Wendy's. It's just not okay. I'm going to go on now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's go on to the next point here in the study. I'm back to reading from the lesson here. See, another point is also very important. This teaching that Jesus did is dealing exclusively with stewardship, not provision. Again, it is important to notice that none of these servants, not even the wicked one, took their own provision from the pound that was entrusted to them. No, this represented extra money above and beyond the funds provided for their own needs. One of the most common complaints or comments that I've received over the years, Brother Gary, I'd love to give more into the gospel. Honest, I would. But there just never seems to be any extra money to give. We seem to always be in a state of just barely making it financially. There never seems to be any extra money. Well, according to this passage, it was the extra money, in other words, something set apart from your living expenses, that was taken from the wicked servant and given to the good servant of kingdom finances. The qualifying question arises, well, what did you do with the extra money the last time you had some? And again, this isn't in the lesson. I'm going to follow him if it hair lips the devil. Because I just saw this precious lady's face from many years ago. I was teaching along these lines, and I was teaching about believing God, and I was teaching about trusting God to start becoming getting a heart of receiving money, but using it for the kingdom of God. I don't remember exactly the lesson. We're probably talking 20 some odd years ago. But I was teaching this lesson, and it went like this. I said, listen, just ask the Lord for an extra hundred. Say, I'm in training. I need some extra. I said, just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, would you please send an extra $100? And when it comes, I'm going to recognize it. So, oh, this isn't normal. And Lord, I'm going to use that money however you tell me. I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. And I said, what do y'all think? Would that be a good thing to do, you know? And they all went, because I'm saying the Lord is real. He wants to train you and help develop a heart in you for giving into the gospel. He'll help you with this. How many think that's a good idea? Well, a lot of hands went up. And I said, well, just ask him. Let's ask him. In fact, I think I led him in the service. Let's ask him right now for an extra $100 to come in. And when it comes in, then you'll ask him, what do you want to do with it? What do you want him to do with you? What does he want you to do with it? Okay, all right. So I let him in that prayer, and time goes by, and people later on gave testimony of what happened, this one, that one, you know, and it was great. And this one gal, I'm not going to mention her name because I didn't ask her permission ahead of time. Many of you might remember. I love her to pieces. She came to give her testimony. She said, Brother Gary, I'm telling you, I was in that service. I was with you, and I asked the Lord for an extra $100. And do you know, I got an extra $100 zama zama way. I don't remember now, some kind of a refund or something unexpected, but somehow an extra $100. I mean, it didn't drop out of the sky or anything, but it was like a refund she wasn't expecting or something. I can't remember. But anyhow, she had an extra $100. And she said, you know what I did with it? I said, what? I went and bought those new shoes I've been wanting. I forgot all about that use it for the kingdom stuff, man. I got this $100. I got in my car and I went straight to the shoe store. And I bought my pair of shoes, and it wasn't until I was on the way home. I was just so happy with myself. I got my new shoes in the car, and I remembered. Oh, Lord, that was you sent that $100 in response to that prayer. And I promised you I was going to use it for the kingdom. Lord, I'm so sorry. I've turned this car right around. I'm going to turn it around right now and take these shoes back and get that $100 back. Now, listen, if this isn't the Lord, boy, if you know him, you know this is him. He said, no, daughter, keep the shoes. Ask me for another $100. Man, that is him. I hope you know him like that. That is him. That's a father's heart for his daughter, I'm telling you. He said, no, daughter, keep the shoes. Ask me for another $100. She said, oh, okay. So she did. And she asked him for another $100. I don't remember how it came, but in her testimony, you know, within a few days, I got another extra $100 that I wasn't expecting. Came a totally different way. This time I remembered. And I said, what do you want me to do with it, Lord? And he told me what to do. And I went and I did exactly what he said. Boy. I want to have a running fit right now. See, now we're talking life. Now we're talking real Christianity. Now we're talking a walk with God. Now you've entered into those days of adventure. Return with me to those thrilling days of yesteryear. Oh, man, where you have a living relationship with God. And when it comes to money, I'm telling you, it's fun and wonderful and glorious when you get to do with the money what he wants to do with it. He's such a loving, kind father. I love that one. No, daughter, keep keep the shoes. Keep the shoes. Ask me for another 100. Oh, that is so him. Okay, I got to go on. What time? We got 15 minutes. We're doing pretty good today. All right. So, okay. So that again, where we finished that last paragraph. Well, what did you do with extra money the last time you did have some? So you got to be on alert for it. If you want to grow in these things, be real. Treat the Lord like he's real. You know, if I asked Bronk, again, I'm going to use Bronk because I have recently, my friend Bronk, who pastors the church, but it would be the same with Jim or Alan or Tim or so many guys that I know, Hans, his brother Doug, any of them. If I was to ask them, would you give me, this goes against my grain, would you give me $100, you know? If they said yes, I'm looking for it. It's coming. I'm checking the mail. I'm checking my Cash App on my phone, you know. Why? Because they said, it's coming. They said, yes. See, when you ask your Heavenly Father, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. When you ask him for some extra, believe you receive it and you'll have it. It'll come. But you got to be looking for it. Don't be like my friend and forget, go buy the shoes or whatever else it is. Be expecting it. Okay. See, when extra money comes, when it does come, and it will, sometimes whether you ask or not, sometimes the Lord just bless you. Something will happen. You'll wind up with some extra money. Most Christians, sadly, do not even think about that maybe being for the Lord's use, you know. No, it's by default, that's mine. See, it's extra. It's mine. Bonus. You know, sadly, most believers today do not act even as righteously as the wicked servant in that parable. At least he didn't consume the pound on his own needs or wants. What did you do the last time extra money came into your hands? Did you consume it all upon yourself? Maybe not. Hopefully not. Perhaps you did as the Lord suggested and opened an interest-bearing account in a bank. But did you do so to gain increase for him or for yourself? Now, the Lord is not against us having savings, but if you want to become a steward of kingdom finances that the Lord can trust with wealth in these last days, I like how he said it, to fuel the combines of revival in these last days. Sometime you have to start allowing the Holy Spirit to develop in you the mindset, this extra money is his and not mine. You have to start allowing the Holy Spirit to develop the heart of a servant, a first-class servant on the inside of you. Oh, I'm telling you, it sounds like that'd be horrible. No, it's fun, fun, fun. I'm telling you, you haven't lived, you've lived, but one of the great blessings of life is to become the hand of the Lord and deliver money for whatever purpose he has. Oh, the souls that will be saved, the lives that will be changed. It's so good. I want to mention this. You know, I'm not going to tell you which one. We support an orphanage. It's not even in this country. And it's one of our great privileges to support this orphanage. But it's a Christian orphanage. And these kids come from the worst. Usually the parents involved are drug addicts, alcoholics, abusive, perverted, everything evil that you can imagine. And these precious, innocent children wind up at this orphanage. But there's many great orphanages, but one of the reasons we support this one, it's a Christian orphanage. And every one of those kids hears the gospel. Every one of those kids, almost without exception, I don't know if there is any, but almost, I want to say maybe, but almost without exception, every one of those children wind up becoming Christians. They get born again. They're going to wind up in heaven. If it was just an orphanage just feeding those orphans, God would be for it. Because he doesn't like it when children go to bed hungry. I'm telling you, he doesn't. But a Christian orphanage where they're going to get food and the gospel and a warm blanket and love and feel the love they should have received from their parents, that they're going to receive it here from these people. Boy, you can support a work like that. That's money well given. You just want to give more, you know. All right. Let's look at this verse again, Luke 19:26. We got about 10 minutes here. For I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given. Well, okay, we know now what he's talking about. What did the steward that gained 10 pounds and the steward that gained 5 pounds, what did they have? They had the heart of a servant. Because they had the heart of a servant, he could entrust them with more. They functioned correctly. They used the pound, they caused increase, and when the Lord came, the pound and the increase was his. So you know what he did? He promoted them to even greater service. He made them over many cities. See, your service is your reward if you're a first-class servant. The service itself is the reward. You met the need of the master. Oh, last 2 weeks' lessons, both of them. Now that word, okay, let me finish the verse. Luke 19:26. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. See, the Greek word translated taken away has a very interesting connotation to it. If you want to look it up, it's Strong's number 142. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that, but it means, one of the meanings is to sail away, like to weigh anchor, like a ship that's anchored, but they weigh the anchor, they raise the anchor, and they sail away. See, especially notice the meaning sail away and weigh anchor. My, how often Christians have written to me or texted me or whatever, almost with that very wording, describing how it seems that it looks like we're finally going to get ahead a little bit and have a little extra money. And it just seems to sail away from them. Something unexpected happened that caused that extra anticipated extra money to be consumed on something else. See, without having this first-class servant's heart developed within us, we can expect that pattern to continue. It'll just sail away from you. How do you know if you have this heart of a servant within you or not? How do you know? Well, check to see if you have this motivation within you. At least a portion of the next extra money I receive, that's going to be the Lord's pound. I will set it aside from my own finances and begin seeking the counsel of the Holy Spirit as to how I could pragmatically trade or invest to cause increase for the Lord and His kingdom. That extra money, that money will never be mine to consume. Both it and the increase shall be the Lord's, to use however he directs by the Holy Spirit's leading. See, that's the heart. If you have that, then you have the heart of a first-class servant, and more shall be given you. You'll wind up getting more extra. You have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ on it. Jesus said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, I hope you're enjoying these lessons as much as I am. I hope you can tell I'm having a good time. Ronda la mai, kishela mokuma, sitere breku mikwe, Brandalamique. Now, those of you that are new, this is a tongue for interpretation. I wasn't expecting it. I don't get to hear it first. But I get to hear it when you hear it. For there shall be an increase of my servants in these last days. For surely know that the last days are at the door. There shall be a mighty harvest like the world has not seen. Not even in the book of Acts, it shall exceed those days, saith the Lord. And I shall raise up those that I have the heart of a servant. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Start where you are. Allow me to nurture the seed of Christ in you. For he already has this heart, and that seed is in you. Spend time with me that I may nurture and grow the heart of the first-class servant in you. If I find you faithful in the small things, I will promote you to greater things. And I will pour my anointing upon those who have the heart of the first-class servant to meet the needs of the kingdom. I will pour out my anointing upon you. And you shall have the joy of laboring in my fields, and the harvest shall be great. Blessed are those who go to preach my gospel, and blessed are those who send them, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wasn't expecting that, but praise God. All right. We're about out of time. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.